But there are some things that we are really passionate about. And with the investments, I think we have found a really interesting spot for which a lot of founders are now connecting with us, because we do something that actually very little investors do. And that's concrete and hands-on support on a product and design side. And so what we do is we join companies as investors, and we are usually one of the smaller investors, obviously. But we join companies as angel investors in which we really see fundamental potential in the product, in the consumer or B2B product. And what is important for us mostly fundamentally care about building a great product and design.
Bonanza Growth Podcast, innovation, strategy, and UX for SaaS. Bonanza Studios is a growth consultancy for SaaS and fintech startups. Every SaaS business needs to fight in three different battles. First, product market fit, discovering a growing marketing and designing a compelling and undeniable solution to meet that demand. Second, product-led growth, turning your product into a growth vehicle by leveraging outcome-driven UX design. And third, creative marketing and organic brand building. If you're looking for a reliable partner to drive growth, check out our website at bonanza-studios.com.
Yeah, we are on. Patrick, how's it going? Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Thanks for the invite.
So you are a man of many hats. Let me catch
that
up.
That is something you can say. Yes.
Yeah, so please fill in the gap. So you are an angel investor. You have basically, you are a co-founder, you're co-owner of Sonic. It's a very pioneer product development agency. Fill in the gap if I'm not getting it right. Yep. And then you are a co-host of a really cool podcast called Quick Cafe, right?
Anything Quick else? Coffee, yes. Yes. No, I think that's the main things on the professional side. On the personal side, I became a dad 5 months ago.
So that's brilliant. Congratulations.
Yeah, so that's thank you very much. So that's something that has of course been a huge change and wonderful addition to my life. But yeah, on the professional side, these are the main things. Of course, there's a lot of startups that I work with here and there as a more, you know, informal advisor. The group of companies that I've been in touch with over the last years is pretty large. Yeah. But most importantly, yes, we run Quick Coffee, a podcast we do every week. And then under the Quick Coffee brand, we also have done over the last year a couple of angel investments. And of course, Sonic is really my main commitment, our product and tech studio. We have an office in Berlin. Most of our team is actually in Berlin. And then one colleague and mine are based in Amsterdam. And and some of the others are kind of all over the place. So we are, I would say, a remote first company, but I spend a lot of time in Berlin because there's a lot of companies in Berlin that we work with.
So a lot of different direction we can take it, but I think it's very appropriate to ask. It would be a bit of a follow-up question on your recently father news, because I have a 7-month-old baby son as well, so I think you're
the same. Yeah, well, congratulations to you too.
So how do you juggle fatherhood with entrepreneurship and owning businesses and being part of different startups and initiatives?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I could now say that I have this grand plan and every week, but the honest answer is I don't. And the reality is, having a child is probably one of the most significant, life events that can happen to you. And it's been an incredibly challenging time in terms of learning everything that is needed to be a great parent, but at the same time also managing what is definitely a high demand job, or you could even say several jobs that I have in different commitments. I think over the last 5 months, what I've mainly noticed as a change in myself is that I operate with shorter decision making times, and this is something that I've started to notice. You know, there's a lot of times you think about certain decisions very long, and you ultimately, after a lot of time thinking, you realize that you're taking the route that your gut had already suggested, you know, in the very beginning when you first heard about the topic. And so I think for me, what has changed mainly is that I now listen to my gut much more. I try to make decisions faster. I think about, is the not the right one I could come back from, and I could correct it. And most of the times you can. And I think you train yourself in being incredibly efficient with your time, because there's just significantly less time available to you. So that's, I think, a change that I've definitely observed. But I mean, you for you, it's also then still quite fresh. So what have you observed in yourself over the last 7 months?
I think you provided a really good summary. What I can add to it is my tolerance or my capacity to see fire in front of me and not panic, not to become panic. So let's say my capacity for putting out fire has increased.
Yes. Yes. I can imagine that very well. I have said that very often and felt that very often over the last months. You know, you ultimately develop a general mode of zenness in your life, right? Because there's such a strain and you know, there's every day there is an incredibly high chance that something completely unforeseeable will happen, or you will have to learn something new, or your child now suddenly rolls from the back to the belly, and now it's on the belly and it doesn't know what to do anymore. And in the first minute, it's very proud. And then in the second minute, it starts crying every single time because now, of course, when you're on the belly, you cannot do anything anymore, and you can't also roll back, and you have to complain. And so there's new things happening every week. And I think this is what really ultimately leads to you having a much higher tolerance for, you know, going into a room, seeing something new, hearing maybe even a little bit of crying or a lot, and being zen about it, right? And just taking day by day and acknowledging that everything in your life is now always changing, and you have to navigate that. And I think ultimately, you know, in the long term, at least that's what I hope, it makes you hopefully a great parent mm-hmm. and a great leader in the company to approach every challenge and everything that comes up with calmness and you know, compassion and a human approach to leadership. And I think that's what I would hope to learn over the long term.
Yeah, I can only second that. What I can add to this is that also another unlock for me becoming a father is that certain clients of mine that they are themselves are fathers and mothers, now I can like connect to them on the same wavelength.
Yes, I've had
I can now understand what they are going through. You know, we only have one kid. What about the entrepreneurs, founders, owners that they have two, three? God bless them. Like, it's just, wow.
Definitely.
You run a business and you have three kids. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, it's like a huge respect. I mean, it's really, I think, it's quite funny because I was recently talking to an angel investor and he had his, he was on the call, and I think he joined 3 minutes late or so. And then he had his son on his lap during the call, right? And the son was playing with the Apple keyboard, and everything was quite funny, actually. And I think, you know, some people might ask in this moment, right? You might ask, okay, you know, it's just a half an hour call, right? So why does the son now have to be there, right? Is there no one right now that could take care of him? And I think you might ask these questions when you're not a parent. When you are a parent, you know that there might sometimes be ridiculous situations to manage your life, right? So sometimes I have multitasked in the past months in a way that I have definitely never multitasked before, because it's just, you know, I think without having a child, it's unimaginable how effective you mm-hmm. suddenly have to be with the time that you have available. And it's not even that you can, kind of approach your life in a way where you can say, okay, you know, maybe before, if I had a demanding job, I had 10 or 11 hours a day, at least during the weekday, that I would work. And now I have eight. The problem is you might have nine, you might have six, you might have no in a given day, right? Because maybe your child is sick or something like that. And so suddenly, it's just unpredictability that enters your life in a whole new dimension. And I have to say, I'm very grateful that I have the opportunity to work remotely, which has been an incredible contributor to even be able to support, even in the household, right? Sometimes I can, you know, do the dishwasher after lunch or something like that. It's kind of small acts of supporting during the day, during a weekday even. And it's something very special. And, that's why I have a huge respect for anyone raising a child, on their own, I think, first of all, but then also people who cannot work remotely, for which it's maybe even more difficult. So definitely a challenge. And but ultimately, you know, every time that you enter the room and your child just woke up and kind of now smiles because it finally realizes, oh, there is still someone there that can pick me up, then of course that makes good for all the tough nights that you've had, or all the tough days that you've had.
100%. I would love our audience to basically give us an elevator pitch of what Sonic is all about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, happy to do that. So Sonic, it kind of started a little bit organically, I would say. It was never, there was never like a moment where we said, okay, we are now going to build exactly what Sonic is today. And I think these are, at least to me, the most interesting company building and company development journey. So we actually, the founding team of Sonic, we have known each other for a long time. We are five founders. We got to know each other in different capacities, but at least for four of us, and then for Lucas, he joined a little bit later, but we have also known him for, I think, around 2 years now. We have known each other for I think 10 years. Of course, my brother is one of my co-founders. I've known him forever.
Oh, wow.
So we have five co-founders and we have a fantastic team now. We are 12 people and basically all focused on either product management and engineering. And so what happened last year in the fall of 2022 is we had all come from different previous startup experiences. So Sebastian and David were at Same Day Health before, an American COVID testing startup. Magnus and myself, and also Lucas, we were at Gorillas worked at Gorillas for 1.5 years. Definitely, yes, also a very wild ride and an incredible experience. Magnus was the head of backend at Gorillas and I was the head of product, and we basically joined very early on in the journey and built product and tech at Gorillas, which was of course an incredible growth journey, but also an incredible amount of learnings and a lot of mistakes that we made there and learnings that we were able to make. And so we got together and we said, look, we don't want to build, you know, right now a venture-backed company. We want to build a company for the long term. We want to do what we are incredibly good at. And so what was created through the network that we had was that we started working with startups, mainly startups that we knew in the network, and we started working with them on product and tech solutions. And this is something we've done for the last 10 years, really kind of, you know, building great products. And so I think if I had described it today, it's really a small, very focused product and tech studio. What we do is we focus on three main areas of working with companies, and that is the first area is product and tech strategy. So really thinking about, if you want to build your first MVP, if you want to build your first platform, if you are a corporate and you want to do venture development, what do you want to do and how do you want to build this application? Then the second pillar is really building the application, doing outstanding product management and engineering development. And we've built mobile apps, we've built web apps, complex backends, data structure, everything that's part of it. We've worked with some incredibly cool companies, maybe people in Berlin listening, for example. We've worked with Milano Weiss for a long time, right? Developing all of the tech solutions that they are relying on with them, which has been an incredibly interesting project. And then the third pillar is really this area of thinking about organizational design and development. And so, you know, when you work with Sonic, what's incredibly important to us is that even as a startup, for example, if you work with us to build your first MVP, of course, at some point, you want to bring that product in house, and you want to you want to make sure that you can run that product yourself. Mm-hmm. And so what we can do is we can support you in kind of learning who should I hire for which role, which kind of people do I even need. And we can also, of course, also help on the recruitment side with interviewing possible candidates and helping you make the right decisions on who should be the team, right? And I think what that has created is really this end-to-end approach where a company can come to us and say, this is a product and tech product vision that I have. Maybe I even have a certain product, but I want to build another one. Maybe I have nothing. I want to build my first MVP and get it out there.
And
we help you execute that end-to-end.
Fantastic. So I loved your focus. You basically work with startups on early stages, pre-seed, get them to like help them with their product and tech strategy, build the MVP, get them to PMF, and then grow them, hopefully Series A, then start
building
their teams in turn, basically babysitting a baby
Most founders, you know, I think, I mean, ultimately, most founders, it's really about like they already have a very clear vision, but there's only so much that you can do at the same time. And there might be founding teams that are very strong operationally. They have a clear idea about the brand. They have a clear idea about the company they want to build, and they need support on the tech side. And I mean, to be honest, I think every single company is noticing the challenge of finding great product and tech talent. And
that's
so what we ultimately do is we kind of come in for a time frame of, you know, 6 to 9 months, sometimes more, and we support that incredibly crucial time of product and tech development, and we make sure that the foundation is laid very well, and then from there we can take it further, and we can help bring things in house, and ultimately the company's off to the races and can continue and run the product themselves. And I think this has now worked even just over the course of the last year. It has worked very well several times, and we've worked with some fantastic companies. And I think it's an interesting journey because you get to see so many startups develop at the same time in a given week, which is something that I find very, very interesting and inspiring for myself.
Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of founders, especially venture-backed startup founders, or like even like bootstrapped, that they want to give themselves like, you know, a shot to find their foot in the market. They often overlook the critical first 12 to 18 months of their existence and take it lightly.
Yes, 100%. So I think, so the interesting realization really that I've had over the last years, in my career is that, of course, you oftentimes want to build things in-house when you are a venture-backed startup. But the reality is it's incredibly difficult to find talented people for the right stage of your company, right? So, for example, there is always someone that you can hire for an engineering role. But the chance that this person is very, very fitting for the stage of the company, for what you need specifically for your tech stack, for how you should build the application, is very low. And you have to be incredibly lucky to find that right person in that moment. And that's true for every product design and tech role. And so what we do is we offer kind of a win-win scenario. We say, look, you don't have to make that short-term trade-off because you can work with us, and we help you make the right decisions because that is what we have been doing every single day of our working life for the last 10 years. And you can make sure that the baseline that you built your company on, the foundation that you essentially built your house on, is built well. And you have people who can help you kind of, you know, take the step back. And it's quite interesting, you know, founders that we work with, they either absolutely don't get it at all. And then usually what I say is that's absolutely fine, right? You will probably come back in half a year and work and then work with us, right? Like honestly, that's oftentimes how it can go, right? Or we have founders who definitely seek out the support that we can offer. And there is different forms of a project, right? Like some companies might already have a tech team. They might more need strategic sparring support in a specific area. There might be companies that don't have anything and they ask us to come on board to build the first product entirely and then hand it over. Some companies we've now been working for a long time. Some companies we've helped for half a year and then they've taken it in their own hands. And I think ultimately all of these products and projects have their merit. But at Gorillas, we oftentimes, you know, considered working with externals, but we wanted to know, you know, are they going to really care about our business in the way that we care about it ourselves? And will they make sure that we have a high level of quality? And that's also why we've decided to keep Sonic fairly small as a team so that we can make sure that everyone we have on board is really an outstanding person in what they do. And when we do a project, we can really help companies, you know, make waves and move forward, move things forward significantly. But it's a challenge and might not be for every company, but I think the companies that we do work with, they very quickly realize, hey, this has a tremendous impact on my business. And now I know that what I have as my tech foundation is something that can scale and I can build on it for the long term, you know?
Yeah. It's typically first time founders in my experience, they go down this rabbit hole of wasting 6 months, 7 months, then come back and they're like, oh, okay, we are now in a desperate situation. Can you come in now? And then they lose 6 months. Of course, we helped them, but why didn't you listen to us 6 months earlier? But typically second time, third time founders, they're really efficient for what I will say.
They know.
The second, exactly. They know what to do and they're not afraid of investing, right? Something that I say to a lot of entrepreneurs, especially in Europe, it's like learn from American entrepreneurs. They're not afraid of investing large, especially in the first 12 to 18 months, because they know that that's critical time. They need to scale really fast.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the reality is, of course, also I was just in the US for 1.5 weeks. The reality is, of course, also that the US-based ecosystem still also has much higher investment rounds on average, right? So there's more money to invest. But I think I made these mistakes myself. You know, we had a company for 3 years with Mapify. It was really the first venture-backed startup that we built in Berlin back in 2017, 2018. That's the first company that I started, you know, out of university. And honestly, I made all the mistakes in the book, really for 2 years, we built an incredible amount of features. We developed every possible platform feature that we could think about. There was a lot of building. There was a lot of building in the wrong direction. There was a lot of tech decisions or product decisions that we later realized, okay, we should have tested that much better, you know, have market validation for it. You know, ultimately, there's some realizations that you learn just simply by doing it. But when you have these realizations and you get to a point where you think about what my business really needs in a moment, then you realize, okay, I would rather make an investment early on to have a problem figured out in the long term. Because I always say, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you on the product and tech side is that you make poor decisions when you have raised your first round. Now you build a product for 6 to 9 months that isn't able to scale, or it's not properly built, or your code base is not at a high quality, or your product work wasn't at a standard where your customers really need it. And then you get to a phase where you start figuring things out and you might raise maybe even more a follow-on round. And then when you're right in that moment of now we could really speed things up, then you have to take 5 steps back because you're realizing, okay, now we need to rebuild part of the tech foundation. Right. And that's really not what you want to be doing. So it's really about, you know, making the right decisions early on. And what's quite interesting, a couple of months back, I think maybe even in summer this year, four or five months back, we introduced something at Sonic that we call like an early partner. So we call all of our customers, we don't call them customers, we call them partners, because we really believe in that kind of partnership relationship that we want to build with them. Right. So it's really about, we are in the same boat. We're going to see this project through.
Yep.
We're going to work with you as long as it works. And if that means we work on a weekend, if they, you know, sometimes if it's really needed, or if this means we work a late night to make the launch happen on the next day, then we do that. And I think that's a special commitment for our partners. And what we introduced is what we call an early partner. And that's really a startup that it might not have the financial resources yet for a proper, you know, large scale Sonic project, but it's founders who say, look, I want to have these kind of knowledge and resource on board early. And so we sometimes craft a setting where we just do a sparing of 1 hour a week with the founding team. And it's had incredible impact for some of these yes. companies, because now yes. they can ask us, you know, week by week, hey, should we set up, you know, with Amazon? Should we set up with Google? What kind of language should we use on the backend side? How do we hire our first product manager? What should the interview process be? And all these questions we can support them with. And now if they get to a point where now suddenly they raise around, or they have a specific project that they would need help with, then they already have the relationship with Sonic and our team, and they know us, and they can just, you know, we have a shared Slack channel, and they send us a message, and we can hop on a call the next day and see how we can support, right? And that's really, I think, something that's very beneficial for founding teams that realize this is knowledge that we do need in the company early on.
I mean, just the like, especially in early stages, every decision that you make is very costly, and the undo button can come with a huge cost.
Yes.
So like, having access to folks like you on a weekly basis, I cannot emphasize how precious it is for founders, because at the end of the day, you are here to make really expensive decision early on. And this is your chance to tap into knowledge of folks like you.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, I oftentimes give this example of hiring decisions, right? So when you look at a hiring decision objectively, it might look like a decision that can easily be corrected, right? So you hire someone, you have a 4-week trial period, you know, oh, let's just bring this person in and we can see if it works. And if not, then it's also fine, right? Now, that's a very, very, you know, that's a very tricky way to look at it, because the reality is, so you will spend 2-3 months, if that's even enough, to find the right person for your role. You will spend an incredible amount of time interviewing people. You will create the contract. You will register this person with the payroll. There's always all these things that you will do. Then this person will start. And if you haven't paid attention to a proper hiring process, now you will need at least 3 months to understand, is that even going to work out, right? Because of course, the first month might be a little bit bumpy. Then you tell yourself, hey, maybe it gets better in the second month. In the third month, you realize, oh, well, maybe it doesn't work out after all. And in the fourth month, you make a difficult decision and say, look, we have to part ways. Now you're with the hiring process 6-7 months in, right?
Yeah.
And you have to start the hiring process again. So you're again looking at 2-3 months, and now you're 9 months into the process. Right. And this is really, 9 months is, you know, half the lifetime of the average, seed startup, half of your runway, if you even have 1.5 years of runway. So I think it's important to notice that, you know, you can, there's not that many decisions that you need to take, in the earliest stages on a daily basis, but the decisions that you have to make, it makes sense to take your time, ask people, and see what's possible. And honestly, I very often am on a call with founders, and I tell them, look, at this point in time, with the problem that you have, maybe Sonic isn't the right partner.
Yes.
I can help you. You know, maybe I'll share with you an interview guide, hire that person internally and work with someone internal, or set up something else. Or maybe there is a partner that I know that can support you. You know, I'm really very rarely, getting to a point where I would always give founders my honest opinion of what I believe is needed for the company. But usually if you think about the decisions that you have to make, you get to a point very quickly that you realize, okay, this is a decision that, as you say, right, the undo button is going to be very costly. And so then you think about, okay, maybe I should make an investment here, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's really what can significantly influence your company. And at Mapify, you know, we had a couple of advisors who joined after like 2 years, 2.5 years. And looking back, I was like, man, I would have loved to have this person on board, you know, in the first half a year. You know, there were so many things that we could have saved time on. And I think especially, I mean, for us, it's mostly true for the technical development, of course, right? So changes or mistakes on the tech side are probably amongst the most costly things that you can have. Absolutely. In a company, because engineering is so expensive. If you build in the wrong direction for 3 months, it's going to take half a year to correct that. You will have to make an incredible investment into that. And that's why we have a lot of founders right now, actually, very early on, working with us at Sonic in these early partnerships or even in the Sonic projects, because they want to make the right decisions from day one, right? And they want to really set their company up for long-term success.
Founders are often lonely. Like it's a, like founding role is a very lonely job, right? You know, often founders cannot share what they are going through even to their loved ones, because it's a lot. Where do I begin? Like if, like sometimes my wife asks me, how was your day? I'm trying
to describe it.
I'm trying to just, you know, where do I start? The starting line for me is really difficult. So, and also, like, what I will say is that, you know, when you mentioned about hiring the right folks for early stage startup, it reminded me of my time at Grover, that we tried to hire a COO, because Grover is basically you lease tech stuff and logistics is everything. We brought in a COO from Amazon. He quit within 2 months. So finding the right people to be able to work next to founders with carrying a lot of pressures is not an easy job. So if you just go down this rabbit hole and talk to me a bit about like the characteristic or personality of folks that can really help early stage startups to scale, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. So there's one thing that I always talk about when it comes to hiring, and that is you have to find people that are incredibly aware of what they are good at, and at the same time aware of what they're not good at all. Uh-huh. And able to admit that. So for example, you have to find, if you're talking about, for example, a tech person for your team, you know, any kind of engineer, I think the best engineers realize where they are very good at and where they need outside support and advice and input to make the right decisions. And this might be a little bit obvious in terms of like, okay, you don't want to hire this kind of know-it-all person, right? But it still happens a lot. And I think for me, when I think about recruitment, it's really about you want to create a culture in which people feel incredibly confident to say, this is something that I have no clue about, right? So there's on a daily basis, there are situations in which my answer is, I don't know about this topic. And I can make up my mind. I can try to form an opinion, but I would much rather connect with someone that has already gone through this experience and ask someone. And thankfully right now, of course, today I have a large network of people. And usually if there is something to figure out, you know, I would ask someone and I could, you know, connect with someone who has had this experience. But I think, you know, ultimately you need people that are very self-aware of where they're strong, because the most challenging thing that can happen to you is that you have a person working on a topic for half a year. This person thinks that they are very strong in this area, right? But they might make mistakes and they might not even realize it. And of course, it's not their fault. You know, if you as the founder, like ultimately, that's something I very often mention in, you know, conversations about recruitment, you know, ultimately the recruitment decision is being made by the hiring manager, and you are responsible for the recruitment process. It's not HR, it's not the people team, it's no one else but you that's going to be responsible for ensuring that for a given role you hire the right person. And so that's why you need to make sure to have a strong hiring process, to have a case study, to have maybe even a couple of test days. That's something we've done at Sonic. We've had people just join the team for a week, you know, paid, of course, and have like a paid work trial. It's a great way to find out if you can work with someone, making that possible and investing in that, which is a great way to ensure that you find the right people for your team. And I think that is one of the most crucial responsibilities of founders, but it's often underestimated because you think, you know, look, we did like 2 or 3 interviews, you know, should be all right. Most of the times it's better to invest a little bit more and ensure that you have the perfectly right person for your role and for the culture that you want to build.
I love this test days idea because although a candidate might be really interesting and appealing and exciting in interviews, but you can only measure their merits through work.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, to be honest, you know, what I find important is, you know, a hiring process shouldn't be just about the company. You know, it should enable the candidate to get to know the company in the same way that the company gets to know the candidate. It should be a process both ways, right? If I want to convince someone to join us at Sonic, then it would be very, very important to me that this person is at the end of a given week or at the end of the hiring process is really confident to making that decision to join us, because ultimately that person is going to invest, you know, could be a long time in their life and a lot of time into working with us, right? And so if a candidate would ask me, hey, can I meet some people from the team? Can I come by the office? Can you share with me what the outlook for the next 6 months is going to look like for the business? I would always be open to do that, because ultimately, if you join a company, it's an incredibly large decision that you're making for your life. And so I think as an entrepreneur, you have the responsibility to ensure that people have the full context, because ultimately, you know, it's not just about the company asking the person questions like, hey, you know, what's your experiences and everything. It should go both ways, right? And of course, working for a company for a week, if that's possible somehow, right? Of course, if people have a job, then you have to find a good way to do that. But I think there's always smart and creative ways where someone could maybe join you for 3 days in your team. And it would be a fantastic way to get to know each other in a much deeper sense than from like 2 or 3 hiring interviews.
You are an angel investor and you run a podcast called Quick Coffee. And I really like the branding of it, the execution of it.
It was a very spontaneous idea. It's an idea. I mean, all credits to Felix, my podcast co-host. He came up with the brand, which really has turned out fantastic. And we are now launching a new website and everything. But the name, it was very spontaneous. It now looks like a grand plan because we are, of course, always combining it with coffee and everything. But it was a very spontaneous idea.
It's lovely. And I saw my list to listen, but like, you know, being a father, you know how it goes. So I would love to basically have your elevator pitch for Quick Coffee, what this podcast is about. And the follow-up question, I know that you're an angel investor in Ever, the ex-founders of IM.
Yes.
And I really like that brand too. So a follow-up question to that would be, what kind of criteria you have when you want to consider investing as an angel investor in a company?
I'll start with the investments. And once again, this is something that we started very spontaneously. So I could now do as if I'm a very professional investor. I am not. but there are some things that we are really passionate about. And with the investments, I think we have found a really interesting spot for which a lot of founders are now connecting with us, because we do something that actually very little investors do. And that's concrete and hands-on support on the product and design side. And so what we do is we join companies as investors, and we are usually one of the smaller investors, obviously. But we join companies as angel investors in which we really see fundamental potential in the product, in the consumer or B2B product. And what is important for us mostly fundamentally care about building a great product and design. I was talking about this earlier in a conversation I had with an investor. I believe that, you know, over the last couple of years, the average quality of a digital product has fundamentally increased. And so if you want to compete globally, whatever you are, whether you're a B2B product, whether you're a B2C product, whether you're offline and online, you have to deliver an incredibly polished and great product experience. And that starts with doing great product work. And it's combined, of course, very closely with fundamental work on the design side and getting everything in place and creating really great product design. And that's, of course, what my partner Felix is very specialized in. And so what we do at Quick Coffee is we invest in companies in which we believe the founders really see fundamental potential in building a world-changing product, something that on a global level can compete in terms of the product design and user experience. And so that's something that we are very passionate about. Of course, as investors, that's also the area in which we support our companies most and the founders that we work with. And it's something that's very interesting because now we realize, you know, we started this really spontaneously because Flo from Aware, known him from a long time. Then he was raising his round for Aware and he said, look, you know, why don't you just come on as small investors and you help build this company? And Aware is obviously a company I'm incredibly excited about because they just opened their lab in Berlin. And I think, you know, everyone should check it out if you're passionate about your health. But it's really, at the end of the day, it's about making sure that you build a product that can compete globally. And I think it's very similar for Quick Coffee. That's why it's the same brand, right? We use the Quick Coffee brand for the podcast and for the investments, because on Quick Coffee, what we've done, we are now at 49 episodes. The 50th episode is launching very soon. And what we've done is we've talked about topics that we believe are important for founders and for people in startups. So it's really startup team members, founders, investors, people in the startup ecosystem that are interested in a new perspective. And most of what we talk about, or very often we talk about product design, culture, product and company building, and everything that we've learned over the last years. And it's called Quick Coffee because it's a quick coffee. It's just a 25 to 30 minutes. So we try to really stick to that time frame in which you could kind of get yourself a quick coffee and you come back to the office and you've listened to the episode every Thursday. Yeah.
So lastly, and a quick one, because I know that you need to get out, and I really want to get your thoughts on this. You are running Sonic with 4 or 5 other co-founders.
Yes.
You have a partner at Quick Coffee. So it seems like partnering up for you is a good way for
crucial.
Crucial. How do you go about finding partners? It's not an easy thing to do, but it seems like you have a good understanding of partnering up.
Yes, of course. And I honestly, I believe that, you know, if you're running or starting any kind of startup venture, what you have to consider is that if everything works well, you will be working on this for 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, maybe 20 years, hopefully 20 years, right? And you build or even longer, and you build like really a legacy business. And I think for me, the simple but so important question is, you know, is this a person that I could see myself be really good friends with? And thankfully, and I'm really grateful for that. All the people that I work with at Sonic and Felix, of course, at Quick Coffee, and also the Blossom team, all of them are fantastic people that I love to work with. I would go on holidays, on vacation with every one of them, right? And really, I think that's for me the question. You want to, if you spend so much time with the people that you work with, you want to be surrounded by people that inspire you, that are just great human beings, that are nice, that will always support you if you're going through a more difficult time, and that will tell you, who will tell you the truth. And so for me, I think it's always been about, this ideal world of what if I could work with my friends, right? And I would really spend all day working with people that I really, really like. And fortunately that has worked out, which is, I think, one of the biggest blessings, in my life, that I get to spend 10 hours a day working with people who I really enjoy. So that's something special. But I would say, yes, if you're searching for someone to work with and to partner up with, then make sure that you ultimately, it's quite simple, but that you ultimately really like that person, and you can imagine, spending a lot of time with them.
Patrick, you are amazing. Thanks you for coming on the podcast and chopping up with me.
Thank you very much for the invite. Appreciate it.
Ciao. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode. For more information, go to bonanza-studios.com.